Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Detroit Lions Breakdown Podcast. I'm Joe Kenya. With me, as always, is Eric Schlitt from PrideOfDetroit.com. Eric, today we will be doing a hodgepodge of topics, but still dominated by draft talk because we are T minus, well, I didn't do the date, 2 weeks away, 12 days.
Yeah, something
12
like
days
that.
will be Thursday, the 25th.
That's what the wheel told me downtown Detroit, or the gear. I went down to Detroit today and I checked out the gear. It said 12 hour or 12 days and however many hours and stuff like that. So,
I was giving people poor information a couple days ago. Where is the gear? Is the gear in Campus Martius
correct.
Park?
It
Okay. All right.
it's
So it wasn't
yeah.
that far off.
Oh yeah, no, it's like you could throw a football to it. That's how it's pretty close. So the way it's actually a really cool setup. They have a big like dome type area that's going to be the stage is going to be under that dome, and then they're going to have all the VIPs under that dome. I would think as well. And then there's this whole free mingling area behind it that's in the middle of where Campus Martius is, and then they've actually put some stands up in a couple of spots so like people can get some elevated views. And then when you come like kind of just outside of that viewing area on the walk up, so like if you're down at like the river and they're apparently where they're going to have activities as well, and you're walking your way up towards the stage, you'll pass by the gear right then. It's all like all in like one big straight line. So my family and I went down to see the Detroit Symphony Orchestra. Had a thing for the kids today. We went down there and then we had some lunch, and then we went down and checked out the build and the gear, and it was pretty cool to see it.
Were the kids excited or are they bored out of their mind?
No, I mean like they were like the orchestra thing was super fun. The eating
Okay, let's go
we
beyond the orchestra thing,
the
or
the
the walk to
the
take a look at the gear.
well, that's the thing. We to from where we are from the orchestra to the gear, it's about a mile and a half. So I didn't think my I thought it would be a bit of a distance. So I got back. I said, let's take the car down there and we'll park at the parking garage, because I'm already registered through them. So I can just drive in, drive out, and I just get a bill. And so I go down there, we park. Well, they have it all like kind of gated off so that you can't, so because they're doing like this huge build all over the place and they're storing equipment, extra stuff. And so they're taking up lots of streets. So I said, oh, if it's at Campus Martius and I park at Campus Martius garage, then I'm just going to be able to walk right out and I'll be right there. Yeah, no, it's like just behind the stage. The garage is like just behind the stage, and then you have to like walk like blocks out of the way to walk around to get it. But they enjoyed it. I mean, it was a nice day in Detroit. It was lots of people. The Tigers were playing. They had the Wings, I guess, were playing a little bit later. Were people over at the Fox? It was a kind of a buzzing day down there. It was kind of cool to see. And I don't think they fully grasp that this is probably the only time they're going to see a draft in the next however long, right? It might be a while, or most likely be a while before it's back. And so it was kind of a unique thing that I didn't want to miss the opportunity to get to go see it. And so it was fun. I ran into a security guard that I know and stuff like it was it was fun.
When you talk about walking in a straight line, where were you guys coming from? Are you
Oh,
guys coming up
Woodward.
Woodward?
Woodward.
Okay,
Yeah,
great. You
the
probably should
DSO.
have put the caveat on that.
Yeah, the DSO is on Woodward. And then you just walk like a mile and a half straight down, right? And if you're just walking, it's fine. It's great. But I was like, oh, I want to get my car down there and it'll be easier. And I thought it was all slick. And it's all fenced off. So you just walk a couple extra blocks out of your way and walk around the gates, and it's a cool experience.
Hopefully they'll get those down when the draft comes around. I'm sure it's just for construction purposes, right?
I
No
believe
wandering
so.
into a construction zone.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, of course going to have certain areas sectioned off because they're going to have like VIP, they're going to have players, they're going to have stuff like that. But the event itself is free. And so you should be able to walk up into the campus marshes areas and, like, mingle and meander but you're not going to be able to get like up into the super close areas that the VIP individuals paid for. You're not going to be able to get like to the players. I'm sure those areas are all going to be closed off as well. But it's I do think like a lot of those gates should come down because a lot of the equipment should be gone. But I tell you what, they got 12 days. They got less than 12 days. And still got a
Yeah, but
lot of
there's
work to
plenty of
do.
time.
I know we say
They'll be
that, but I
working to
don't
the
know.
last minute.
I'm sure that's kind of my impression.
Just because the world's held together by duct tape, and that's what's going to roll us into the next subject, is
Yeah.
the new Detroit, the Detroit sign, the Hollywood-esque Detroit sign that they threw out. But is it on I-94?
I'm gonna be honest. I don't know where it is. I
No,
looked for
this was
it.
a horrible topic for us then.
I looked for it on 75. I didn't see it on 75, so I imagine it's on one of the adjacent
But it could have been
freeways.
on
Oh, maybe it
I-75.
was. Maybe it
No,
was.
it's
And
not. It's on I-94.
I
It's
was gonna
like
say it's small enough that I could have just missed it. That seems to be a major disappointment for what people were
Well,
expecting it
yeah.
to
Well,
be,
I
right?
mean, they always like the when it comes to the things being built in the city of Detroit, that maybe even down to Ford Field, but definitely Little Caesars Arena. Like this is what Little Caesars Arena is going to look like. This is what the area around Little Caesars Arena is going to look like. This is
Oh,
the
right.
LED, the roof's going to be just a big LED screen. And then none of that happens. And here it's like, we're going to have this giant sign that's going to say Detroit because people aren't going to know where they are when they come into the city.
Sure.
I don't quite get it. Like, I
Sure.
understand the Hollywood sign. It's got a rich, history of,
Yeah.
it was Hollywood Land and it was the name of some real estate company. And then they took the land down and everybody thought it would just be cool. And I could be totally making up the wrong story there, but I think that's roughly correct. And like here, it's like, well, no, we wanted to put up, a sign to let people coming for the NFL draft to know they're in Detroit, but
I tell
they would already know that. It's like, oh man, we landed at the wrong airport. We're not supposed to be in Detroit.
is it from the airport towards the city?
It
Like
says it's on I-94 in Southwest
right.
Detroit. So if you're on I-94 heading into Detroit, you're going to go through
From
Southwest
like
Detroit.
from
It's
the
on
airport. Yeah.
Edsel Ford
It makes
West
sense. It makes
and
sense.
Proctor. Yeah, well, at least that makes sense. Let's see exactly where that is, because that's my dad's old neighborhood. That's where he grew up. It's actually right by where he grew up,
Nice.
Edsel Ford West and Proctor. So, well, that would have been interesting for him to know, but.
It was the letters are like about the same size as a person, right? Like so, like when they showed the workers installing them, I was like, they don't look, those letters don't look that big at all. And then on it, like they're on the angle, but the angle's weird, like as well, and they're not spaced out properly either. Oh gosh, what a mess. What a mess
Is
that
it
whole
really a
thing is.
mess? They just put up a sign and now it'll be there forever. Is it
It
light
doesn't,
up at night?
I have no idea. It
Can they
looks
make
like,
it red and green at Christmas time?
they look like,
Like, is it red and white for a Red Wings game? Like, that would have been, I mean, I
I
don't
think
know.
you're giving them too much credit. If it does, great. I'm going to say I highly doubt that it does any of
Yeah,
those things.
sure.
It was, my OCD did not like it. Let me
All right.
put it that way.
Yeah, and I'm sure most people listening have no opinion on this topic and wish we move on to something else.
Hey, well, speaking of things that I really won't care a ton about, is the uniforms are getting released this week,
Right,
right?
right.
Pe
Yep, there's
people
big
are gonna,
news.
I mean, look, let's hope that that sign is not a an open door into what's to come with these uniforms, right?
It's true.
Because,
The bill of goods, they sell this bill of goods and then it falls flat.
well, that's, there are so many people that are so excited for this that I really hope it hits, right? We talked last week about being old and it
Right.
not having the same
Things haven't
impact,
changed since then.
right? And man, I hope I really hope it hits. So that's gonna that rollout is happening on Thursday. There's a whole big event at Ford Field. We get to go down. I think there's going to be some players there. We'll have a little media availability. There's going to be a presentation. Then they'll have the uniforms. And then we'll all, everyone will take pictures as quick as they can from their iPhones and try and get them out to show. And then, the Lions, social media universe will, be ablaze with opinions. And I
Oh
don't
yeah,
know.
certainly.
Yeah, I'm hoping it does well. And even though I
Rod
know,
Woods says it will.
well, okay. They also get a third alternate helmet to the mix, which I'm hoping
Oh,
we find
really?
out about. Yeah, it was a new rule they passed this year. You're allowed to tweak your alternate helmet a little bit more to add a third option. And so apparently they've done that as well. So I'm interested to see that. So essentially it's like a uniform tweak. We're probably going to get brand new Color Rush jerseys, which everyone's going to be excited about because
Get
most
rid of the
people,
gray pajamas
most people don't like those. And
because they don't match the silver helmet.
right. And
That should bother your OCD.
it does. But I tell you what, if you're being a little bit of a conspiracy theorist,
Oh boy. I
they
love it.
released
No, go ahead.
No, they released their draft hats, right? And the
Oh
draft
boy.
hats have a very, very dark gray that almost looks like black in a picture, but it turns, if when people have bought them, they've said, oh no, it's like a really like deep gray, which is supposed to be really nice. But again, if that deep gray is part of their new rollout, awesome. But again, it's not going to be a great match, and so it'll probably wear on some people as well. Anyway, we're probably going to get. So we'll get uniform tweaks, Color Rush jerseys, I believe a third new helmet tweak, and it'll just be a whole bunch of information coming out all at once. And
So,
well, no, you go ahead. I have a question after, but you go ahead.
the third helmet. We don't have to, I guess we are going to dig into this topic. It's fine. So we have the standard
Sure.
silver helmet with the more fit Bubbles the Lion on it, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so that's the main helmet. And then
Mm-hmm.
the alternate helmet is Honolulu Blue with the
Yeah.
1950s logo with the double stripe and the
Yep.
more sleek Bubbles the Lion. I'm guessing that lion wasn't named Bubbles. But
Probably
I
not.
see, like, so the throwback helmet is just the first helmet and they peel the stickers off. I assume that's what it is. And that's probably what it always has been.
I think the throw mat is the throwback is like an exception to the rule.
But
It's
I thought they
more
could only have
tradition.
one helmet for years before this new, hey, we're going to be more like college football with different helmets. Like, I thought the player had to wear the same helmet. So I thought they were just peeling stickers off for Thanksgiving.
I think in theory that's essentially like what they do, but the idea is that that option is doesn't count as the as
As
a
a
as a
helmet.
as part of the it doesn't count as part of the new designs, right? You
Right.
get like you're having these three new ones. The throwback is just like an extra, you get grandfathered in for that helmet that you can use whenever you want. But I know that they're switching up helmets. They're also switching up helmets for position groups this year, like different styles of helmets that the different position groups can wear.
Well, I
And
thought the
or
players got to pick within reason. There's like whatever's
right.
okay concussion protocol wise.
But
And there's some guys grandfathered in.
I
Or
think
maybe
that's
they're all
part.
gone by now. Sorry.
I'm not sure to be honest. But they get they're trying to with the concussion protocol in mind, they're trying to create different levels of like padding and stuff like that for the different position groups. So if you're an offensive lineman, your helmet might be a little bit bigger. I mean, naturally it would be because you're typically a bigger person, but might be bigger than like say a corner's. And so it's going to be interesting. They're always looking to tweak because every time you tweak a uniform, it's a whole new set of merchandise that you can sell, right?
Right.
And
Oh yeah, it's
that's
big for the league.
yeah. So
Big for the pocketbook.
people want to be able to invest in something. So you can only do this like once every however many years, and you can't just keep tweaking all the time. And so this is the Alliance like opportunity. And so whatever we see come out of this adventure here, this is going to be it for at least, I think, the next half decade. The thing I'm hoping for is some more definition amongst the numbers.
Yeah, well, we talked about that last time,
right?
Because as we're getting older.
Yeah, it's harder. I mean, and from a distance, it's hard to see too. So number definition is the big thing that I'm hoping for. Has anything changed for you? Is there anything that you're like, hey, I hope they add this or that? Or
no, I don't. I mean, no. I'd love it if they got rid of the WCF patch, because but they say it's sticking around. It's going away, but there's going to be some sort of
not hat
honoring,
tip.
Yeah. of William Clay Ford, which, you know, the man's passed, so I guess I shouldn't say it, but he was a poor owner, you know. Well, he was a wealthy owner, but, you know, he wasn't a very good one.
Yeah.
You know, like, even though all of his players like him and a lot of the front office people, everybody kind of liked him. You just didn't know how to put a competitive football team on a field consistently. So I don't know why we should really, you know, honor him. Although the owner, that's her father. So I get why they're not taking the,
right.
all
I mean,
that
she,
off, but it dominates the uniform. Sorry.
No, I hear you. And I think that's why they're making the shift, but yeah, she's much better at this than her dad was.
So far, so good. Already won more playoff games than him.
Well, I look, that's it. That's it
and
for me
mother.
on uniforms.
Combined.
I don't know. I don't know if you want to, if you have anything
No, I don't
else.
care. You know, I don't care.
Yeah.
I know the kid. You see, a lot of the kids want the black uniform back. Although, like,
yeah, and a lot of the
I'm
older,
going to be angry. We despise the idea because that was Millen wanting the team to look more
right.
like the Raiders.
Like,
and so that's no good. Like, that
and,
just brings us back to Matt Millen.
The funny thing is, and then they never actually wore those uniforms, right?
Yeah, it was
like
a
that.
Rarity.
Yeah. No, I don't think they. I think they didn't wear
I
them.
thought they, well, yeah, they wore them.
I think they
one
wore them
a
in the
couple of times.
preseason. In the
Oh,
preseason,
really?
I thought. Yeah, I didn't. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm speaking out of turn. Again, uniforms aren't my depth of knowledge, but I think if you do the black right, you can be slick. But there's too many old, of us old guys out there that have PTSD with those things. I think, and so that don't want them.
Yeah, we'll live with them if that's what we got. I could be the black uniforms. I always thought they got like destroyed wearing them, so they stopped. But I could be confusing that with the Michigan State basketball silver uniforms back when I was, you know, a student. And like they got the first time they wore them, they got destroyed by Duke. We're not in the game for like 1 second, so they never wore them again. I thought maybe it was something similar. Maybe I'm just projecting.
They ever tell you about the worst uniforms I've seen? Michigan basketball wore Mays uniforms with Mays numbers and a white outline of the number. So you basically, from a distance, you basically were looking at Mays on Mays with a very fine white outline. It didn't look, you couldn't tell jersey numbers at all.
On TV,
it was just,
it probably looked not bad.
It was horrible. No,
oh,
it
it
was
was bad.
horrible.
Well, I guess, yeah, yellow on white would be hard to see. I'm not going to say
yellow on
Mays.
White on yellow. It was like, oh, you couldn't see anything. It was terrible. It was the worst uniform I've ever seen. I was so disappointed. I've only seen him wear it once. And so
hopefully
hopefully
here
that
we go,
was.
complaining about uniforms. More uniforms now.
But I think
ancillary uniforms to the discussion.
Maybe
we were
that's
talking.
Just it. Maybe it's just we just want to complain. That's what. Maybe
Yeah,
that's
no.
What
it's plenty to complain about. All right, that's enough for the uniforms. We'll see them Thursday, right? Or is there a set day?
Correct. Yep, Thursday. It's not going to be till the evening, though, so be patient. Like the
well, I'll be with waiting with
listen.
bated breath.
Yeah, it's like my expectation. I think it's gonna be like after dinner type of thing. So, have some dinner, relax, check social media after that.
Watch, there's going to be players awkwardly, you know, like posing in them.
Yeah,
you know,
but
where
you know
they're
what?
Like they want to be there, but they kind of don't want to be there once it starts going.
This group of players, though, they're all young, right? Like,
they're
I mean,
youngsters,
the one
not as
and the
good
one,
as the Packers, but youngsters.
No, but the guys that they're going to pick too are also going to be like young guys too, and the attitudes and the mentalities that these guys have, I think they're going to have fun with it.
Right, until like they're being taken pictures of too much and want to just go back and change and then leave, you know, then it's going to get awkward. I don't know. All right.
All
We're
right.
going to move on. We're going to talk what everybody wanted to hear us talk about, the NFL draft. We're going to do something different today for us. This is something that you do quite often, but we're going to
Yeah.
do the mock draft, right? We're going to use the, can we
Joe,
say what simulator we're going to
no,
use?
yeah. Oh, yeah, certainly. Yeah, we'll go. I'll go over the rules here in a second. Have we? I am
I don't
trying to
think we've ever done a
recall.
mock draft.
I don't think we've ever done one like together, like on the show. I think we've just like
Just talk
speculated
about who we
idea
think they're
around.
going to take.
Yeah, and I think we've talked about trying to do something like this before, but we've never really gotten to it. So essentially what the way it works, or the way that I like to run them, and the way I do them from a written standpoint for the for Pride of Detroit is that I use the PFF simulator. It just seems to be, it's smooth, it's easy, you can control things a lot easier. And there's a couple other good ones that are out there. It's just, I just tend to lean more towards PFF. So I like to use PFF. Within reason, we try and keep this about like to what I think it should be, right? Like, based on what we've studied and based on like what we know about these players, we want to make sure that we're starting a mock draft that's within reason, or what we are, what the expectations are. So like if Caleb Williams is available at 29, we're probably just going to restart that draft because that's not going to happen, right?
Not
He's
gonna
it's
happen.
right. And so if you have like a weird, you know, quirky thing happen at the top, it can throw off the whole first round, and then that in turn throws off the whole draft. So we want to keep it kind of as smooth as we can. And the second big rule for this is I like to allow just one trade, because it's really easy to get trade happy with these simulators and be like, I'm going to trade this one. Oh, look at this value. I'm going to trade this one. Look at this. And I know Brad Holmes is a wheeler and dealer, and he trades about half the time, but I try and limit us to one, just so that we're not like taking advantage of the machine on the other end of the mock draft simulator, right? We're not taking advantage of the situation, and instead we're just talking about the what the board is in front of us and what we think the Lions might do, and we'll go from there. So for the first round, we'll spend a little bit more time looking at what happened around the Lions, who's
Right.
available,
No, I get it. Yep.
our thought process. And then it'll get a little bit easy, you know. We'll be a little bit shorter as we go. We're going to do all seven Lions picks, unless we trade, and then maybe we add another one, or maybe we lose another one because we're taking something in next year. But pretty straightforward. All right, so let me walk you through the. Let me get my screen going so that we can both see it. All right, Joe, you should be able to see my PFF simulator. All right.
Yep, got it.
So we're going to click Lions. We're going to do seven rounds. I don't care how exactly, you know, like the top half, you know, of the draft, you know, happens. So I'm going to use a faster simulator. I don't think you're going to, unless you want to trade up from 29, I would just kind of move. But considering the fact that, you know, Brad Holmes might want to deal up, I can slow the speed down on this so we can kind of see the players that are coming off. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So I'm gonna kind of just like let it roll for the first
Yeah,
few
let's
picks.
let it
You know,
roll.
they're
Yeah, we're
not
not going
they're...
to be trade. I don't think this team, we're not trading into the top 10.
Correct. Right. But you know, when we start getting past the top 10, let's kind of see, you know, how things are going. If I pause it, I'll ask you a question or two and we'll see where we're at. All right, so we'll start. Caleb Williams goes, Drake May, Jaden Daniel. Like, so it's all wide
Neighbors,
receivers and
Odunze,
quarterbacks. Yeah.
Harrison,
So it's wide
Turner,
receivers,
all.
quarterbacks. Yeah, exactly. It's everything we've kind of expected so far. Fuaga goes a little earlier than we thought,
Oh, there's
but
your JJ McCarthy. All right,
yeah.
so Quinyon Mitchell, who you would love to see be a Lion, he went 12th to the Broncos.
Right. Broncos are an interesting team because they're in a bit of a cap pinch because of the Russell
A
Wilson
cap
trade.
pinch?
Yeah, they don't have a whole lot of salary cap, so they might want
Oh,
to.
cap pinch. I thought you said cat
Sorry.
pinch. I'm like, what? Well, you don't have to apologize to me because I misheard you.
Be interesting to see if Dallas or if Denver is a trade interested in the trade. I could see the Raiders potentially looking to trade out of that as well. If they're in the market for a quarterback and one of the quarterbacks they like isn't there, maybe they want to trade back to get one at a lesser value and acquire some other picks. I'm not interested in going up this high just yet. And
But Brad Holmes loves picking at 12.
he's picked a 12 the last 2 years, right? Exactly. So Mitchell is the guy, is one of the guys that I'd really, really consider moving up for. But I think going up from 29 to 12 would be awfully expensive. So that's why I didn't want to do that.
All right, let it rip.
I can see a couple of guys maybe in this range. And if you're maybe Brian Thomas, the wide receiver out of LSU, and then Terrion Arnold is still there as well. So I don't know if either of those guys are like on your radar, like, oh, I want to trade up, or if you just want to kind of let it see how it falls. So let's check it out. Let's see what happens. Latham versus Thomas. There goes Thomas. All right. So Arnold's still on the board, which is interesting. We're all the way down to pick 18, and Arnold's still on the board. It's still a bit of a jump. Any interest in going up into this range, or you still want to kind of
I do
sit for a
not.
little bit? Okay.
Let's let it go.
All right. Mims, Fatianu, Bo Nix,
Oh
Guyton.
boy.
There goes Arnold. There he
To
goes. All right.
the Eagles.
Okay. So Arnold goes to the Eagles, and then right after him, Minnesota grabs Johnny
Oh boy.
Newton. Now, Johnny Newton's an interesting guy, and a guy that I don't think, I think is starting to get a lot more buzz now. Met with the Lions at the combine, met with the Lions, or just came in for a top 30 visit. And it's a guy who I think a lot of people had originally overlooked, but now are starting to really like say, man, if he's there at 29, he could really be a possibility. But I do expect, I wouldn't be surprised to see him go off the board or in the early 20s there. So he's gone. I mean, he's gone. I don't think I would have traded up for him anyways, but
Those are
he's off
two
the board.
Eric guys, though, and they go to teams that matter to the Lions. First, Philadelphia is a fellow contender in the NFC, and then the Vikings in division. Here's guys that are going to be around.
Well, and Dallas and Green Bay are next two on the clock, and then Tampa. So again, you're talking to like three teams that you got to worry about in the next three picks. So I'm still comfortable sitting and seeing how
Yeah, I'll
things
sit.
play
I'll
out.
sit.
All right.
Although Holmes did make a trade with the Buccaneers with Jason
Yes.
Light,
All right.
so
Well,
let's let it run.
let's let the next two run and see what happens. Murphy, Wiggins, and then now Tampa. All right, that's fine.
You're
I'm
happy
still.
Wiggins is gone.
Well, see, Wiggins is one of the better cover corners in the class, but I've talked about this before. I don't think he has the mentality. He doesn't support the run enough for me.
Doesn't fit.
He's more finesse than grit, in my opinion. And it's tough for me to see the fit, even though I think he's a really good player. And I don't like him landing in Green Bay either, but I don't think he having him go off the board, it isn't going to hurt my feelings as far as Detroit is concerned. All right, so three more picks. I'm just going to let these three go because we're not going to trade up at this point. Latu, Powers Johnson, and then Worthy. Oh, interesting. Worthy goes, right? I do. I would again. Worthy with his that 4.22 40 that he ran. Somebody's going to fall in love with him.
It wasn't the Raiders.
So, that leave. His teammate AD Mitchell is still on the board, which I think AD is better. I think Worthy's just speed is just appealing. So it wouldn't surprise me to see him go ahead of AD, even though I think AD is a better player. Now
Oh boy.
we have, I'm going to read the guys that are on the board for the Lions because there's a bunch of them that I wouldn't mind at all. The first one is a real shock to me, would be a real shock to me, but is a guy that I think if he's there he would probably be the guy I vote for. And that's Cooper DeJean. Cooper DeJean is, in my opinion, one of the better cover, one of the better corners in this class. He has more experience in zone, so he's not exactly going to be a smooth fit, but he has everything that the Lions are looking for from a mental standpoint. He's gritty. He can play different positions. He's physical. He has good instincts. He breaks on the ball well. He gets his hands on the ball. He intercepts it. He's got good quickness. And it's there's so many intangibles about him that I think are fantastic. Right below him on the board is Kool-Aid McKinstry. And I think McKinstry is the guy that most people are, well, and based on the most recent mock drafts, Kool-Aid McKinstry is the guy that most analysts think the Lions are going to end up with. And so again, I understand the fit. He's a one of the best press man cover corners in the, or one of the best press man corners in the draft. Lions have they ran a lot more press man in the back half of the season. That's more of what Aaron Glenn wants to run. So why not take the best press man corner that's out there, and that'd be Kool-Aid. He's athletic. He's not an elite athlete, but he's athletic. He's got better speed than I think most thought. He ran a 4.42 at his pro day, which or something along those lines. Let me double check. He ran a 4.47 at the pro day. Still faster than most people thought. I think most people were looking at him as maybe being a 4.5 guy. I like a lot of things about him. In my last mock draft that I did, I paired him with the Lions because I thought he was the best player. In this situation, I have them rated right next to each other, except I have DeJean 3 and McKinstry 4. So right off the bat, my gut is to lean towards DeJean. But before we debate that, let's look at a couple other options. The next guy on PFF's board is Tyler Newbin, the safety out of Minnesota. I'm not sure you can do anything to convince me that they need to take a safety in round one. I get it. I get that, you know, you could add a guy in. There's maybe some unreliability with, you know, if he's injury history and his not that many games played.
Sample
But
size.
yeah, but like, I don't buy them taking a safety, but he's there. Peyton Wilson, the linebacker of North Carolina State, I think we can cross him off pretty easily. A.D. Mitchell, who I talked about before. A.D. Mitchell's one of the most athletic wide receivers in this class. He's 6'3", or I think he's a little tick under 6'3". He's like 6'2½, 205. His RAS score is 9.99 out of 10. Like, so awfully impressive collection of scores. Good explosion. He's a good downfield threat, but there are things about his game that are not, you know, complete. And the big thing that turns most people off with him is that the knock on him is that he doesn't play as hard when the ball's not coming his way. So he tends to take like plays off if he knows the ball's not coming to him. I think that's a little bit overblown. I've seen it certainly when watching him, but at the same time, it's like somebody got that narrative out there about him. And it's kind of stuck, and like everybody has really harped on it, and I think it's a bit overblown. Is it a concern? It's a negative, but it's not like a he should fall out of round one type negative because just because of this type of situation. So if you like a receiver, I think AD is probably the best guy on the board. The only one that I would argue against that could potentially knock him off is Ladd McConkey. And McConkey is a guy that like no one is talking about with the Lions right now. Like no one. I absolutely love him. He looks like a slot receiver. Basically 6 foot, 186 pounds. He looks like Brandon Stokely, but he isn't, he plays outside and he is always open. Always open. And for a guy like Jared Goff, who prefers when his receivers are open and he doesn't have to fit those tight windows, Ladd is going to be an incredible fit in for him into the offense. Now, he's 6 foot, even a tick under. And that goes against the narrative, the traditional narrative of you need a big bodied wide receiver X in order to run your offense. And the Lions don't really have a big body. So, it doesn't make sense to add him. But man, having J-Mo's speed, McConkey's ability to get open in same bounds, just consistency and everything he can do, that is a formidable trio. And yes, you don't have a big body, but at the same time, you have guys that are either always open or have world-class speed. So I really think McConkey is a guy who needs some consideration. Last guy that I'm going to put out that I'm going to talk about here is Zach Frazier, the center out of West Virginia. Zach Frazier, I believe, because the top four guys have gone, Fuaga, Fatianu, Powers Johnson, and Barton, because those guys are all off the board at this point. Frazier's the next best interior offensive lineman on my board. For me, though, it might be a, it, I think it's a tick early compared to the other talent that's on the board. I think Frazier fits exactly what they're looking for from a mentality standpoint, from an athletic standpoint. He's got a lot of the skills that they want. He can be a bully. He can play center. He can play guard. There's a ton of to like about him. And in reality, this isn't a bad spot for him. The thing is I think the receivers and corners are just a little bit better than him. And so that's where I would lean. So, Joe, there's my dissertation. Do you have a guy here that you like more than another? And if you do, tell me why.
I don't have a guy I like more than another, but we know it's down to the first two guys. For the main reason is one of them plays for Iowa and the other one plays for Alabama. So that's
No,
where
that's a
MO
hundred.
is.
Yeah, 100% right.
So, I mean, they can't go wrong with either one of them. I know we don't want to do this because this would never happen in real life, but what I want to trade back one spot, trade the first round pick. And get the Baltimore's first round pick and then a sixth rounder for them or a seventh rounder, whatever the balancing, act is, and then hope they take one of them and then we could get the other one and we have an extra sixth round pick to work with. But I'm sure there's too many phone calls to have to be made. Plus, they'd have to have a good idea with Baltimore who like they are picking, and hopefully they do pick them. But if they don't, then you get on the phone with San Francisco, trade back again. Get another sixth round pick, but that's more video game mentality than actual what actually happens. So
And I don't know if Baltimore would trade up at this spot. I don't know what their incentive would be to move up either, right?
we'd
So,
have to know which guy they'd take and say like we're going to take him unless you want him and you got to give us something for it.
well, I mean, they might take a receiver. I mean, I could absolutely see them taking Mitchell or
I'm
McConkey.
we're going to take Mitchell. We've got to have intel on what's going on over there,
Well,
which we probably don't.
for our scenario, I think trading back one spot would be
We're not
hard.
going to do that, but it's fun in theory.
Yeah, sure, certainly. I think if we were trying to keep it realistic, trading back, we would probably go have to trade back to a team that's trying to jump up and get like a quarterback, right? Because here, let me look at the quarterbacks that are. I think there's still one out there, right? Yeah, Penix is still out there. So would New England, let's say, that's
No,
the
they
New
drafted one. Didn't they draft
I mean,
they
let me.
drafted
Oh, they
Daniels?
took Daniels. Yeah. So
They're
Carolina's
out.
off the board. New England's off the board.
Kansas City's out.
Kansas City's out. Carolina's out. Washington.
Arizona's probably
They
out.
took
Washington took
Drake May.
Drake May.
Chargers don't need one. Tennessee doesn't need one. Back to Panthers. Back to Washington. Back to. I mean, like no one
Nobody's
here.
jumping up.
Not until the Raiders. So if a team's looking to trade up for a quarterback, you would have to drop back to 44 where the Raiders are
Which they
picking, and
probably wouldn't do.
I think that's tough. So
Well, can we offer the trade and see? Let's see what we can get from the Raiders. 444. Can we do
sure.
that? Or if that's not allowed, I'll just tell you who it's for.
No, they won't tell us. Right now, all we have is we have two options
Okay, we have two options. All
offered
right.
to us. The first one is Tennessee at 38. Oh, which maybe they're looking. I mean, they drafted
Will Levis.
Levis last year, so it's not like they're looking for him, but maybe they'd be looking for something. Tennessee wants to give us Oh, they just say they're willing to offer 38 and whatever we want to try and make the deal. So, like, let's see. So, if we were going to give them 29, we would at least, so let's see. We asked for 38, asked for 106. They would take that deal. So that's their late third rounder. So we'd be getting a second and a third for a first rounder. If we added a second rounder next year, they wouldn't take that. So fourth rounder next year, they would. All right. So second and third, they'd make that deal. Second, third, fourth, they'd make that deal. Second, third, fourth. See, like,
Oh, they
see,
wouldn't. No,
see
they
what I'm,
wouldn't do that.
you see what I'm saying here?
Yeah,
So,
yeah, yeah.
like, this is where it gets wonky, right? Because right now they just said that,
They
according
called
to
the
the
Ditka
simulator,
deal
exactly,
to Ricky Williams.
they do a Ditka to go up to 29 and trade their entire draft to go get pick 29. So we know, like, that's not realistic. Yes,
All right, what's Philadelphia offering?
well, Philadelphia is going to be even worse because they're offering 50. So
Asking
for
53.
50, hold on.
Only 4% chance. Oh.
Oh, because I they, okay, so 50, let's see, 50 and 53. They say 31% chance they'd give us 50 and 53 for 29. So if I take 53 off the board, then they give us everybody else. Again, they're basically dicking the whole draft as well just to go up to pick 29. And I don't think the Lions would want to trade back all the way to 50 anyways. So especially with the guys that are on the board. So let's go back to the board.
Well, we're going to take Cooper DeJean because Kool-Aid McKinstry, we're seeing he is getting mocked to the Lions in a lot of publications, just like you said, the
Yes.
last one you guys did. So let's go the other route. Let's see. Nothing's really going to, they're both corners, so it's really not going to
Yep.
change what happens next, but just so we
Right.
have another
Well,
different guy in there.
if those two guys were there, I think the Lions would take DeJean.
He
If
is
those two guys are
bigger.
there, I would take DeJean. I think DeJean is a better player, right? So here, let
Well,
me
like you
pull
said,
up.
it was close.
It
The
is.
thing is, it wouldn't be bad to take either one of those guys because not too much will be put on them right away. You
A
know,
hundred
like
percent.
they'll be like the fourth guy in the mix, and they'll be able to compete in
Hopefully
training
third.
camp, and yeah, and hopefully you'd hear like, oh, they're going to start. Whoever it is looks real good.
All right. So if we look at my board, you can see I'm right next to each other on my draft board. And I don't have Kool-Aid's RAS score. Cooper DeJean's was almost at 9.89. So I mean that's impressive. His superpower, in my opinion, is he's a ball hawker, and also he can be a return. He's probably one of the better returners in this class.
Well, that's something to be considered. The new
Yeah,
rules.
exactly. Where and then you've got and look. From a speed standpoint, DeJean is bigger. He ran a 4.43, whereas McKinstry is a little bit smaller, and he ran a 4.47. Again, they're close, right? Like we're nitpicking here, but DeJean has a better speed score because he has a better size speed combo. He's a little bit more explosive on his jumps as well, and so from an athletic standpoint, DeJean is checking the boxes off a little bit more now. The difference between the two, as far as like how much zone they run, looks like a vast difference, right? Because Alabama typically runs a lot of man, and Iowa typically runs a lot of zone. But when you look at their numbers from last year, it's actually a lot closer than you think. Alabama ran a lot more zone last year than they had in years past, and so McKinstry has run a lot of is familiar with running a lot of zone, but he's also an incredible in press man. He has one of the better press man scores out there. For example, he's only allowing a reception when in press man, he's only allowing a reception every 36.7 snaps. Okay, like so he's out there and when he's in man, 37 almost 37 times before he allows a reception. Here's the thing. DeJean is only allowing a snap when a pass reception when he's in man coverage once every 31.5 snaps. That's like one, again, it's an insane number compared to the rest of the class. Both of them are highly productive in man. And the amount of time they spent in zone is actually not as huge of a discrepancy, I think, as people thought. And the zone snaps to, coverage, coverage snaps in zone are similar as well. DeShean allows a reception in zone every 18 snaps, McKinstry every 22. Run defense, they're similar as well. From PFF has their run defense only a few snap a few grade numbers apart. 78.6 for DeShean, 83 for McKinstry. So from a statistical standpoint, they're really close. From a athletic standpoint, they're really close. You probably actually give a nod to McKinstry from a production standpoint, give a nod to DeShean from a athletic standpoint. But for me, the intangibles are just they're just there for DeShean. And so I like him. I think in my if I had my druthers here, I would say he's the
My
guy.
druthers.
I think he if he's there, I'd take him and I would want the Lions to take him. And so for me, I'm hoping you agree with me. If not, I'm willing to listen to why.
No, I agree with you. And then let's take our second round pick and trade it to the Ravens and go pick 30 and pick McKinstry. Let's have them both. Ditch it. Give them the rest of our picks. We'll just leave with two corners.
I think that would be very it would be a very
Short-sighted,
it'd
very
be a very
dumb.
underwhelming podcast. It'd be like, all right, folks,
Then we'd be
thanks.
done. I forgot about that part. We'd be
We're
signing
done.
off in no time.
Have a good one.
Yeah, no, I was being facetious there. Let's
Right.
go with Cooper DeJean. Let's see where this takes us.
I'm with you. Now I'm gonna yeah, all right, let's see when McKinstry goes. So DeShean, Mitchell goes next, then McKinstry to San Fran.
See, we could
So
move back.
all right, so now you're seeing some the Robinson guys go, the edge rushers, both Robinsons go off the board pretty quickly after that. Seeing more corners, more wide receivers, more tackles, all the things that we kind of expect are starting to fly off the board here.
Washington is offering us the pick at 40.
Yeah, they're gonna offer a bunch. That's just the simulator, just always
Oh, I
trying to let
know.
you
I
trade
know.
up. McConkey lasts all the way to
Yeah,
46.
46. See?
Mike Sanders still goes at
Off the
43.
board.
Yeah, I knew he wouldn't make it there anyways. I wrote about
The
Mike.
Falcons.
Yeah, I wrote about Mike. Did I write about him? Or did I just talk about him?
Or is this
Man,
in your sleep?
I'm getting it all mixed up. I think, oh no, I wrote about him. I wrote about him in the mailbag with Jeremy this week. Basically, with Mike is I think he's too small to go in the first round, but he has first round talent. So if you're too small to go in the first round, but you have first round talent, you're probably going to go like in the 40s. If you only play off the ball and you have instincts for days, but you only play off the ball and most notably you play in the slot off the ball, well, you're probably going to go in the 40s, just like Brian Branch. There's a reason, like if you watch out the NFL patterns, for whatever reason, they let these kind of off the ball nickel guys slide to 40. And then when they get picked in the 40s, teams are like, oh man, or people are like, man, how did they let this guy slide all the way to 40? It doesn't make any sense, right? Like
Right.
the Brian Branch theory here is happening with Mike Sanders still. He goes at 43, which is almost exactly where I expect him to go, right? In that early 40 range. Just like Branch, because of how the NFL values these guys. In my opinion, I think Sanders still has first round talent, but he is undersized and he plays a position that's not valued as high in the NFL, which is weird to me because those guys are so important and they play nickel 80% of the time, 80, 85% of the time in the NFL now. Yet these players are still undervalued. So I fully expect Sanders still to go in the 40s. And if you're Lions and you're interested in him, it's a really weird spot to try and trade to. Trying to trade back from 29 to 40 I don't know what kind of value you're going to get on that. Then trying to trade up from 61 to 40 is hard as well because you're having to move a lot. You'd have to give up a lot to go up 20 spots in the second round. So it's a kind of a weird zone for where I expect Mike to go. And it's one of the reasons why I think, those who are hoping a Mike Sanders still to Lions possibility or are hoping for that possibility to happen will unfortunately be disappointed. I just don't it, it I hope I'm wrong. I hope the Lions are interested in him, and it just becomes a fun, hodgepodge of great players, and you just put them out there and see what happens. But I fully expect him to go off the board in the 40s, kind of like what we saw here. All right. Let's jump back to it
Pick
here.
47.
Offensive tackles, a couple more edge guys, more
Sure,
interior
Zach
guys.
Brazier went at 49.
Newbin went off the
Keon
board there.
Coleman went to the
Yeah.
Eagles.
Keon Coleman and Roman Wilson back to back. Former Michigan
Michigan
State
State,
and Michigan
Michigan.
guy. Yeah, both receivers, both off the board. Starting to get a little thin at receiver here.
Right. Well, see, that's what happens.
No, it is. It 100% is. But we're like with Keon, he's in that same range for me as the A.D. Mitchell and McConkey range. That's my kind of like that's where I'm slotting him. A
Michael
lot of people,
Penix is a Ram. Sorry. Keep
oh
going.
no, we'll get back there. So like Coleman here is in this range for me. Now we're starting to get into this next kind of third and
Your
fourth
next
tier.
tier.
I'm starting to like these guys less, right? Like there's a couple of guys that are like, oh, they could be fun, but like of once the first seven are off the seven wide receivers are off the board, they become less appealing to me. Yes, I like Roman Wilson. He just went. A lot of people love Ricky Purcell. I don't know how he fit. He's not as smooth of a fit for me.
They're
Xavier
all
Leggett,
smaller guys. They need
yeah,
a bigger bodied receiver at this
if
point. I
well,
mean, if
there's.
they could get one of these guys later, but you're going to
Yeah.
say Xavier Leggett.
Well, I was gonna say Leggett's a guy that I know that they like. They interviewed him at the combine
And
as well,
he's
but he's off
bigger,
he, and he
6'1",
but
220.
he's off the board as well. He
Oh,
just
that's
went
right.
as
Yep, we
well.
saw him go by. Yep.
So like you're what you're starting to see is now if you don't take that wide receiver in the first round, you're starting to see the size go away, or you're starting to drop the tier of player a little bit more. The guy that I had in my mock draft recently was Devontae Walker. I took him in the third round at pick 73. He's a size speed guy. They met with him at the combine. I believe they like him more than I do, but he's a guy that I'm kind of have on my kind of radar here. And we'll see how this plays out. It's a guy I think they're going to like more than I am. But we'll see how it plays out. All right, let's get back. We're at pick 57, so we're almost to the Lions here. Right. Jonah Ellis, Jenkins. Okay. Isaac and Javon Bullard, another safety off the board. So we're at pick 61. Right off the bat is the tight end Jatavion Sanders from Texas. I think it's not a tight end. Not time for the Lions to take a tight end. So I'm going to ignore and just kind of slip past him. The next guy on the board is someone I am interested in, and that's Rook Arorow, the kid from Clemson, local kid. He played at, let me see if I can find where he played. He played locally. I know he's from the area. He interviewed or he came in, for, I guess technically what's considered a local pro day with the Lions because he's local. It's basically like they got to do a top 30 visit with him, but because he's local, it doesn't count against their numbers. But he is an impressive athlete. He is a defensive tackle. He's 6'4", 295 pounds. He entered Clemson as a 265-pound edge rusher. Since then, they've kind of added 30 pounds onto him and pushed him inside, but he's still got some of that edge rusher mentality and quickness to him. He would be a three technique that can also kick out to the five. So think of him this way. He's kind of like Kaminsky and Pascal, except he is a guy who starts inside and can kick outside if he needs to. So he kind of fits into their mold, but reverse, right? Where it's like he's more of an interior first type player. defensive tackles is a need. This is a guy that they brought in to pay attention to. So this is a guy that I'm paying attention to. All right. We don't need Jonathan Brooks, the halfback out of Texas.
Texas.
We can take him off the board. The Yale tackle, Kieran, I can't pronounce his last name. Amitiji or something along those lines. I apologize.
I don't know
He
that one.
he's injured. He was injured this year, and I don't watch a lot of Yale. I mean,
You
I
don't
saw
watch a lot
him.
of Ivy League football?
It's tough for me to find the time. But his game's
6'5",
okay.
323.
Yeah, and he's athletic. But here, let me pull up his score for you so you
Is
can
he
see him.
young? Is he buildable? People must like it. He did not play at the FBS level.
Yeah, he's a guard. He can play guard and tackle. He spent most of his time at tackle, but he's got really good goal. He's got really good productivity. He's a good run blocker and a good pass blocker. He's good in zone and he's good in gap. Like, he can do pretty much everything. Doesn't allow a ton of pressures, but he's also, he also got injured. Like, he only played a handful of games this year. Great length, man. His length, 36 arms, 36 inch arms. That's massive. With him though, I'm not sure how he would be viewed. I have him as a tackle on my board. I kind of think the Lions might view him as a tackle. If you're not interested in re-signing Taylor Decker, then he's a guy you're going to consider. So yeah, all right. I'm gonna leave him on the board. I'm not sure I'm in love with him as at this spot, but if you're interested in the tackle, he's the best tackle there.
Uh-oh.
The guy that everyone's gonna want to scream for
Yep.
right here is Marshawn Nyland.
Dropping in the draft.
Well, this is a case of, I think his stock is rising in reality because people are just starting to like become aware of him a little bit more. But in reality, or in the simulator, he's still under PFF's ranking, which is an older ranking, and so he's a little bit further down the board. The rumor on him is he could go in the top like 40. Like, he's and potentially squeak into the first round. So he shouldn't be there at 61, according to the consensus right now. He is available here for us if we want to play the game. But so he's again someone that we can consider. We've seen a bunch of safeties go off the board, yet Jaden Hicks is one of the better, it might be the best safety in this class, is still here if we wanted to go safety at this point. And I will bring up a couple more guys. The first one's Christian Haynes, the UConn guard, who I think is probably the best offensive lineman at the spot. Like, I would take him over the Yale tackle, in my opinion. I think Haynes is a guy who could be available, should be available here at 61, and is a guy who could challenge to start, could snap a good spot start, and he's a guy that could, be exactly the type of offensive lineman that you want in order to solidify that line for the future. So he's a guy I would say we would need to pay attention to. After him, I wanted to look at the receivers, and the two receivers that are standing out here are McMillan from Washington, who's more of a slot, and then Walker. Again, I don't love Walker in the third round, so I don't really love him in the second round right now either. So I'm going to say this isn't a good spot to pick a receiver. If you want to argue against me, then that's fine. So for me, I'm going to tell you my guys that I'm interested at this spot, and then you tell me what you're thinking. The Clemson defensive tackle, Arororo, the
From
edge
River
rusher.
Rouge High School.
Thank you. The edge rusher from Western Michigan, Marshawn Nyland,
And Godwin Heights High School in
and
Wyoming, Michigan.
then I'm the third guy I'm going to add is Christian Hayes, the guard out of Connecticut. So I'm staying in the trenches here in the second round. I think that's where the value is. I don't like the skill players as much, and so, or at least how the ones that are available and how they would fit Detroit or compared to what Detroit has on the roster. So I'm looking trenches here. The three guys I like the best are trench players. So defensive tackle, edge, and guard. What are your thoughts on those guys?
Well, do we even consider Nyland after you were talking about he's not going to be there anyways? Is that something for us to consider?
We could take him off because we say, but I mean, if you want to, we could also make the
We're
argument
going through
that,
the exercise.
yeah, right. And so you could absolutely just do that as well. I think Nealon's probably the guy. He probably won't be here again. He might be the best player. And so if you are doing BPA within reason, Nealon might be the answer. But if we want to play reality, we might go a different route.
All right, so let's take a look at the. Let's say they're both there,
Okay.
Aroke Orohuro and Marshawn Nealand. All right, so we have a defensive line currently constructed today. Aiden Hutchinson on one edge, the other edge
Yes.
being occupied John Kaminsky, Josh Pascal. In the middle, we've got Aleem McNeil, DJ Reader. Right, there's your starters. These are the guys
Oh
who are going to
yeah.
play the majority of the snaps. Hopefully, nobody gets injured.
Yep.
Who's going to be so Reader, big time run stuffer, right? Aleem McNeil's going to be out there in passing downs because he can rush the passer.
Correct.
Is Nyland, I mean, there's two ways you got to look at this. Like, but we're trying to win the Super Bowl next year, right?
Yes.
What's Nyland's value going to be to the team next season? And what's Orohuro's value to the team? Is he going to be able to push the pocket on third down? Is he just another run stuffer? I guess this is like these are the things to consider, I guess. Like where are the Lions deficient on the defensive line? Where would they want to? And I know they're always trying to get, this is what makes it tough. It's like, well,
Yeah.
Holmes is going to just look to get better, but who's going to help provide more of a pass rush to make it a little easier on the back end? That's my thoughts about it, because I think they're set stopping the run.
So let me explain how I think the fallout would happen if you added a guy. So Orohuro, that if you add him, you're going to be using Pascal and Kaminsky more in a defensive end type situations because you're going to keep Aleem out when you need to. Rook's going to come in and play that, and you're going to get that interior pass rush from him, which means you're going to lean on Josh Pascal and Kaminsky on the edge a little bit more. If you draft Nealon, you're going to use Nealon on the edge a little bit more, and you're going to push then Kaminsky and Pascal onto the interior. So now you're going to have a little bit less of an impact on interior pass rush, but you're going to have a better outside pass rusher. So the question just becomes, what do you prefer? Because one guy you're getting more interior pass rush, one guy you're getting more edge pass rush. And that, but you have the guys that are position flexible to make both of them work. It's just a matter of where do you prefer to go with that pressure? Do you want it on the edge or do you want it up the middle? I think the Lions have historically tried to take it on the edge, but I also think they're kind of desperate to get some interior presence as well. So I'm kind of split on the two. Are you interested
Well,
in
how about
are
think about
you
it this way? Are
okay?
they re-signing Aleem McNeil after next year?
Well, how much price?
What are
I
the
mean, that's part of
odds?
it, right? Like taking a guy like Orohuro, is you have insurance against Aleem not signing a contract extension, and you have him you have insurance against Reader's quad injury not quite being or if he has any setbacks or anything like that with his quad, or if he gets injured again. So Rook gives you a lot of insurance options. Nealand is just a better version of what you have on the guys on the outside, and you can keep running the defense that you've been running for the last couple of years as far as the front. So Nealand just upgrades that edge spot for you. So That's between the two. Let me pause this for a second. Do you have are you considering Haynes at this point? Or are you just
Not
saying,
well,
man,
that's the
we're gonna
next
have a
question.
okay.
No, we have to consider this now too. Haynes wouldn't start, obviously.
Correct.
But is there a drop off at the interior offensive line position if we don't take Haynes? Because he'll go pretty quickly afterwards. And now are we screwed at that position? Not
Okay.
Scrooge. It's never that bad.
Well, so let me tell you, we'll kind of reset. The one guy who will be on the board later, but shouldn't be on the board later, is Cooper Beebe. Cooper Beebe is a fourth gets a fourth round grade from PFF. Everyone else gives him a second round grade, a high second round grade. Okay. So I expect Cooper Beebe to be in play at this spot. But for me, him and Christian Haynes are pretty close to equal. I like Beebe a little bit more, but PFF hates him. So they're going to drop him way down. So he's always going to be there. So if we were playing the game, we would say, oh, let's just play the board and take Beebe later. But again, I don't want to do that. So, like, I'm going to say, even if we see Beebe, we're not going to have him as an option because I don't think he's going to be there in the third round. You can argue against that, and I'd be willing to listen, but I think he shouldn't be there. And so I haven't looked at him. Jordan Morgan's already gone. I believe King is Kingsley gone? I think the BYU kid, Kingsley. Let me just take a look just to see.
Sweet Mataya.
Yeah, the cousin. I believe he is gone. I just want to double check. Yeah, he's off the board too. Okay. These are all the guys. So Kingsley, Morgan, Beebe, Frazier, Haynes, those guys are all in the same range for me. So the
Least
drop
your
off,
Larry Warford.
yeah,
Is your
this,
comparison.
yeah, he's all, I mean, some, another good one is someone else compared him to Shaq Mason, which I can actually, I get that too, but I like the Warford comparison still, for Christian Haynes. So the drop off is you're looking at guys that are probably like getting more fourth round grades, because this is kind of where you're dropping off on. Now, again, on PFF's board, they have a couple of these guys available. In reality, I don't know if these guys are going to be available. So you get a bit, there's a bit of a drop off between the second round guys and the third round guys. So if you want a guard, Christian Mahogany is going to be a guy to consider in the third round. Brandon Coleman, Isaiah Adams, those are guys that we could consider in the third round. They actually don't like Coleman either. They don't like Coleman a ton. Like Coleman's like way down the board for them. In my opinion, he's a third, fourth rounder, and so I think Coleman's a little bit higher as well. But if we're not even looking at like what's available, if we're trying not to play the board, if we're just looking from a purely from a talent standpoint, Aroro, Nealand, Haynes, those are the three guys that make sense. And then it just becomes, do you like one more than the other? I think, in my opinion, Nealand is the best player, but he probably shouldn't be here. Aroro makes sense to me from an interior presence. Plus, the drop off for defensive tackles gets it happens quick here, and then the edge, you know, the I'm sorry, the interior offensive lineman. There's a bit of a drop off here as well, but there's still talent that's on the board. So for me, my vote is to take Aroho because, again, I'm trying to make it realistic, and I don't think Nealand will be there. In reality, I would probably take Nealand. And Haynes, I've taken Haynes in a previous mock draft I did, but I also think Aroho is an interesting guy that could bring something, and I think it creates an interesting challenge for us to try and find players that fit some obvious needs. So tell me, what are you leaning
Yeah,
towards one guy?
I'm gonna agree with you
Okay.
with Aroho, except for it's ruining now like the hallmark of our hey, what do the Lions need to focus on this offseason? And we were both, well, on the offense, because that You want to stay, you want to be a top five offense. You want to be a top three offense. You know, do whatever it takes to make the offense better. And here we're already going against it. But I'm in. Rook.
All right, let's take him. And everyone that's listening is probably yelling at us because
no, that's fine. That's the fun of it.
Nealon's the better player. And so I'm going to speed the mock up because we're not going to trade at this point. All right, back on the clock.
You don't want to trade now?
Well, we can. I mean, we can trade down, but I'm not trading up at this point.
Let's see what the – well, okay, first, what's on the – what do we got available? Okay. I might want to trade down now. Let's see if we can trade down. Unless you like – all right, so well, it's Jonathan Brooks, who we already spoke out against. You know, the correct. Lions aren't going to take him. Edgerrin Cooper, linebacker from Texas A&M, and I don't
– that's a no. Take a
linebacker in the third round, I wouldn't.
No. Nope.
All right. Spencer Rattler, quarterback, South Carolina, not doing that. Jalen Wright, halfback, Tennessee, not interested. And now wide receiver, Devontez Walker.
That's the guy that kind of jumps out to me where I'm like, okay, he's might be one of the last size speed guys that you have. They met with him at the combine. He would probably be the front runner for me so far. After Walker. What do we got here?
We got Blake Corum, when they're not going to take Blake Corum. Javon Baker from UCF.
Now, Javon Baker, he's the next wide receiver that's there. In my opinion, this is it's close to the right spot.
A little bit bigger.
Former Alabama five-star recruit that transferred to
Alabama.
UCF. Yep. He's a little bit bigger. He's slower. He runs in the 5.4 ranges.
And we don't like slow. We like fast.
Yep. They certainly do. Like Walker, he ran a 4.36. You know what I mean? Like he can flat out fly and he can stretch the field. The thing with Walker, it's just he's got inconsistencies in his route. He doesn't break them off as fast. And he never really had to go over the middle at North Carolina. And so you worry about some of that, those in-breaking routes that the Lions like to run a lot. Does he have that in him? I think he does. I think the fact that they interviewed him shows that they're interested in him at least. And he's a player that fits that size speed mentality. He's also a guy that's not going to need to be, you know, the guy, and he wouldn't be in the Lions system. He'd probably be like four or five, right? At least at best. I still think he's a good player and this could work from a value standpoint. I'm not in love with him, but I think the reason I'm not in love with him is because there's so many other talented players that, you know, are in this class that have already come off the board. So I don't hate him. I've pointed out some negativity about him. I think there's a lot of potential, and I think he's just kind of scratching the ceiling, and he could help stretch the field. But he's not a perfect fit. But I would totally understand the appeal of grabbing him. Again, Baker, you lose him from a athleticism. There's a drop off from a speed standpoint. There's a drop off, and so I still think they would probably favor Walker over him. Austin Booker is an interesting edge rusher out of Kansas, not very productive, highly athletic, didn't even see the field before this season. And so a very interesting character. You'd be betting on traits instead of talent or instead of production. Interesting guy that I want to add to the mix here, Blake Fisher, right tackle, Notre Dame. He could start in a year. He's a guy who could come in and he would be your swing tackle on, you know, from the moment he steps on. He's a massive upgrade to Matt Nelson, and he could spot start at either tackle spot probably his whole rookie season. And if you can't reach an agreement with Taylor Decker, you could shift Panay and put Fisher at right tackle next season and feel comfortable with that. So Blake Fisher is a very interesting pick for us to consider here. In my opinion, I think I like Booker, but I think Booker from the edge rush from Kansas, I don't think he's as polished. I think Fisher is a better player. I think Walker probably arguably might be a better player. or at least and he fits what the Lions need. And then after that, it starts, you have a nickel corner in Andrew Phillips, who the Lions might like. You have a couple other slot type receivers like Malachi Corey, who I actually think is probably going to go higher than what they have him ranked here. And then I really like Renardo Green, the Florida State cornerback, but we took Cooper DeJean in the first round, so we don't need to look that route. Mahogany was a guy I told you about earlier, but again, we're kind of getting a little bit further down the list. And I don't think I'd take him at 73. So here's what I'm going to present to you. Devontae Walker or Blake Fisher. Devontae Walker, wide receiver out of North Carolina. Blake Fisher, the right tackle out of Notre Dame.
Notre Dame.
Or Andrew Phillips, the nickel corner out of Kentucky. Those are
Well,
your three options.
I don't know if it matters anyway. I'm devastated. Absolutely devastated. Look who went 72. Look who went 72.
Oh yeah. Yeah,
That's my
well,
guy. We should have
he
traded up one pick.
I can tell you
Like, I'm
Devon.
lost now. I'm sitting in the room. I'm just staring blankly at the wall. You know,
Well,
I'm in the draft, the war room, just staring blankly.
Devondre Sweat might still be on the board at 73 when reality comes around because of his most recent drunk driving offense. Or was it drunk driving, or was it like oh gosh, now I'm blanking on what it was. Yeah, I think he just got a DUI or something along those lines. It was his an he has a history of making poor
Poor decisions.
yeah, when it comes to driving, partying and then driving and stuff. And he went into the combine and said, all that's behind me. I'm done with my partying. I'm ready. I'm focused. And then all of a sudden he gets popped again. So word is he's probably going to
He's
fall to day three.
not Lions material.
Well, it's man, it's a tough
He's just
sell.
my material, Joe
He,
material.
I mean, look, he's a lot of fun. He's a big, huge guy, and he's a massive run stuffer. At the same time, I don't know how he fits the Lions with that behavior. And
Yeah.
so, yeah, I he's
Devastated. I'm just
well,
devastated.
I'm sorry for you. I think the three options that I presented to you are the
Yeah,
best.
no, Blake Fisher from Notre Dame's the guy. You don't have me sold on
Yeah,
Devontae
Walker.
Walker.
Yeah.
Like you say, he did, with his route running and all that. Like, now at this point in the draft, even though I know he was a fourth round pick, I want Amon-Ra St. Brown level work ethic out of my wide
Sure.
receivers at this level.
Sure.
If they don't have that at this point, we're
Yeah.
moving on from them. So,
I get you.
Blake Fisher, Notre Dame, offensive tackle.
I think it, both picks are really realistic here. Taking an offensive tackle would, I think, surprise a lot of Lions fans, but they need that OT3 spot bad. And they haven't addressed it. And the fact that they haven't addressed it, I think, is an indicator that they're looking at it in this draft. Fisher is a potential starter in waiting, and he solves a lot of problems for you. If you're not re-signing Decker, if you are re-signing Decker, then you have a tremendous OT3, and maybe you cross-train him to see if he can play some guard. But in my opinion, he's a right tackle starter in the NFL. Maybe it takes a year, but he's got that ceiling to get there. With Walker, look, the thing with Walker is he was a really good player at his previous school, and I don't know why I'm blanking on it. It was a smaller school. Then he transfers over to North Carolina. When he transfers to North Carolina doesn't file his transfer paperwork properly. And the NCAA squashes it. He misses the first month of the season before they get it corrected. And so he was kind of late to the game. And so that's part of, I think, why his production is down. And you look at his numbers and they're not going to be as good as, some of the other guys. And he's got a good ceiling. And I think he's a good player, but I don't think he's as polished as he needs to be because of a lot of the circumstances surrounding his college career. So, I'm on board with Fisher. It's against the grain for what I want to do. Most of these drafts, I would love to get a corner, a offensive lineman, and a wide receiver. But the way the board has fallen here, let's take Blake Fisher and see what happens. Now, we don't have a fourth round pick, so
We're waiting for a
this
while.
is where it gets tricky. Now, I'm gonna
Devontae
pause.
Walker.
Did he just go?
No, he went
Okay.
to Kent State before
Oh,
North
thank you.
Carolina.
Thank you.
I did not. He might have went by now. I did not
Yeah,
see.
he is. He went, he's off the
He went
board.
to
I'm just
Washington. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of the guys that we were kind of looking at are kind of going here. Mahogany, who we were talking about. All right, I'm going to pause this right around. Let's go a little further. Is there a team you could see? Oh, I know what I did. I'm gonna tell you what I did in my last mock draft for people who didn't read it online. At pick 120, the Philadelphia Eagles are on the clock. I petitioned, I made a trade with them, offering them a fifth round pick and their fourth round pick that we acquired from them in the DeAndre Swift trade in 2025.
All right.
So essentially, I offered them pick 205, which is a fifth rounder, or a sixth rounder, and a fourth rounder next year, which was theirs to begin with, for pick 120, and they accepted it. And then I ended up in that mock draft, I took Sione Vaki, the safety out of Utah, who I think that they absolutely love. And I think it has a fourth round value. A lot of the analysts are down on Vaki. So Vaki might be on the board later. I don't know if he will be in PFS simulator because they tend to like him. But in reality, he's a guy that I think people need to be paying attention to. I paused the draft here because I wanted to let you know, like, okay, this is the scenario. If we wanted to trade for 120, we could potentially offer them a pick in the 200s plus a fourth rounder for next year. And then the simulator says they would probably take it. So to trade back into the fourth round, would you be willing to give up a sixth rounder this year and a fourth rounder? And do you even want to, or do you just want to let the board play?
No, let's do it. Let's trade up.
You want to trade up? Okay.
Yeah, let's do something fun here.
All right. We'll trade up. So
Should have
I will
traded
offer
back
you.
in the third round.
Well, it's okay. All right, so let's look at the bad part about this simulator is they don't let you
We
know
don't
who
know
the
who is going to be available.
right. You just kind of have to like be watching the board. The first guy that they have available is a nickel corner, in my opinion, Chris Abrams-Drain from Missouri. I think he's a good player. I don't know if they need to go to the corner route. Estime from Notre Dame, the running back, isn't going to be somebody we consider. Tyreke Smith, again, I think he's a nickel safety, and I it's a tough sell. I really like him. I also think he'll probably go off the board on day two. I don't like Trevor Keegan here. I think that's not a great fit. We start getting a little bit. Oh, see, well, here's where Coop,
There's
like, see this
Cooper Beebe.
Coop,
He's gonna be
but
long gone.
again, he's, yeah, in my opinion, he's going to be gone. So this is where I kind of fight with the simulator here. Malik Washington is a slot receiver out of Virginia. Hayden, the corner from Tennessee, is another local kid. I think he's also from the Rouge River area, if I'm not mistaken. Christian Jones is a offensive tackle. Like he, if we didn't take Fisher, I think he would have been a guy to consider. We have a tight end here in Ben Sinnott, who I think is probably going to make the board as well. Another corner in Kalen Carson, who the Lions just brought in for a top 30. So we make this trade, and there's not really a lot of great players available.
Big mistake. We can't undo
Well,
it.
no, well, no, we can't undo it, but we could. I mean, we could trade back. We could trade back out.
Try and get our old picks back.
but
Pull the draft day.
let me bring up one guy. Okay.
Well, you want Vaki, right? The safety from Utah.
Oh, but I think I don't even know if he's
He was
available
already
right
gone.
now. Yeah, I mean, he probably is. PFF tends to like him quite a bit. So let me just see.
Yeah, he's gone.
Yeah, PFF likes him, so they kicked him off the board here. All right. Two
Well, a lot of
guys.
Michigan guys available.
Well, one of them I think would be here at 120. And I probably should have talked about him right off the bat. So there's two offensive linemen that I like here, and I think both of them are good players that could be starters a year from now. And that's going to be hard to find in the fourth round. Okay. And I think they're both here for different reasons. All right. The first one I'm going to bring up is, let me pull them up for you so you can look at them, is Isaiah Adams. Isaiah Adams from Illinois. He played, he's a guard, but he played tackle. He played quite a bit of tackle last year, basically because of injury. The offensive line was injured. They needed somebody to kick out. He was the guy who kicked out. So if you look at his PFF grade, you'll see a big drop off in his grade from this year, from the year prior, when he was at guard the majority of the time. So for him, if I think he's a guard in the NFL, I think you have to look at his production from a year ago as opposed to his production last year when he was kind of playing out of position for me, in my opinion. So he's 6'5", 315. He's a guard, with, like I said, with some tackle experience. He's played both left guard, but he played right tackle, so he's got that kind of left right capability to his game. But there's nothing exceptional, like from a production standpoint, that really stands out. He's got really good zone scheme blocking grade, but production wise, he's under the radar because he played out of position. That out of positionness, I think, should drive him probably into day three, so into that fourth round range. But in my opinion, I think he's a guy who has third, who is more, his value is more of the in the third round. The other guy that I want to mention, and he's only here because of injury, and that's Zach Zinter from Michigan. In my opinion, you are getting a second rounder in the fourth round because of his injury.
All because of what happened against Ohio State.
Yeah, those Buckeyes. And I think he'll drop. I do think he's going to drop. I also think he's a guy who should go. If he didn't get hurt, we'd be talking about him when we were talking about Christian Haynes in that second round. We'd be talking about Zinter. Broken leg, fractured in multiple places. There's going to be some questions. In my opinion, though, this is a he's a captain. He's a he can play. He played at right guard. He's a bully. In my opinion, he has the potential to be a plug and play player when Zinter's contract is up. So Zinter would exit. I'm sorry, I said Zinter. I meant Zeitler. When Zeitler's contract is up, if he's ready to retire, Zinter could be your plug and play right tackle a year from now at
Right
guard.
guard.
Yeah, right guard. Thank you. So now you have insurance at tackle, and you would have insurance at guard. So this would make the trade up worth it to me. This is the guy that I would push for. I would say Adams is the other one. I don't know if you were like, hey, I will really want a nickel corner, and Abram Strain is a great nickel corner, I would entertain that argument for sure. If you wanted to argue Tyreke Smith from Georgia is a nickel, he's kind of like Branch, where he could be Branch's backup. You want to argue him, I'd be willing to listen. But in my mind, the level of player that you're getting that will probably be here is Zinter. And so that's the guy that I'm going to say I believe we should take. You want me to move, scroll through, find a different position or different
No,
player?
no, no. I would say it's Zinter too. Tyke Smith,
Oh,
Drane Abrams, both those guys are undersized.
yes, it's
And
true.
we made the trade, so we're going to make the trade to get a guy who we thought is going to be better. He kind of fits the Lions, don't mind taking guys with some injury history. We
And
got
the
to take him. Even though I
position.
see other people taking him in those mock drafts at this point, and we're just following along. I'm in though. Let's
Yeah,
draft him.
I think it makes a lot of sense. All
Save him
right.
for later.
And so it was a good move for us to jump up and get him. I don't think PFF's going to like that we took him here, but I don't care.
We're going to get a poor grade at the
Yeah, but whatever. It's just a grade.
end.
It's a
Yeah.
computer. Okay.
What does the computer know?
I need to speed this up a little bit here. All right.
Poof,
So
164.
we're down to 164. Now we're starting to get a little bit more position specific. We still have not landed our receiver that we were hoping for, and that's a little rough. And I don't know if we're gonna find the guy, right? Let me see who's available that we might consider. Joe Milton is on the board.
Yeah, I
I don't
saw
like.
Joe Milton.
I he's got an arm for di or like one of the he'll have the biggest arm in the league, but there's a lot of intangibles that he doesn't have, and to be QB3,
You would
I
not like
don't.
Joe Milton.
I've liked it. I mean, I've watched him. I've played him. He's not, but he's. There's a lot that he needs to improve. I don't think they're going to take a running back. There's some good running backs that are going to start coming off
I
the
saw
board in this.
Dylan Johnson. I'm a Dylan Johnson fan,
Yeah,
although
Dylan
he's
Johnson.
once again coming off injury.
Yep, he had quite injury the whole time. Okay. Next guy I like really here quite a bit is Nemanja Pritchett. That's a double dip at corner.
Yeah,
Man
but
coverage corner guy that they really like. I think it maybe it's a bit overkill, but he's a guy I like quite a bit. If you're talking tight end, AJ Barner is in this mix. Oh, Luke McCaffrey is here in this mix, and honestly, that might not be a bad range for him. He's gonna go. This is about probably where he'll go, in that kind of like fifth, sixth round. Luke McCaffrey is 6'1" and a
Christian
half.
McCaffrey's brother.
Christian McCaffrey's brother, yep, and Dylan McCaffrey's for those Michigan fans.
Yeah.
6'1" and a half, 200 pounds. He's mostly a slot guy. He kind of played that big slot. 70% of his snaps came out of the slot. So that's a hard. It's a tough sell to say he's going to be. He's just going to be like a plug and play guy, and you're just going to be able to put him on the outside. Like, I don't think that's realistic. But when you're looking at kind of bigger body guys, there's not a lot of guys on the board. When you're talking about guys that have a high level of athleticism, there's not a ton of guys, but he has it, and it's on the board. So he may not, he would challenge Donovan Peoples-Jones for a starting role. Okay. And we've talked about, and where how I think Donovan Peoples-Jones isn't plan A for a starting role. But
Right.
what you would get is you would get two guys that could compete for snaps as like kind of that wide receiver three. So you wouldn't have a you in this scenario, you wouldn't have a wide receiver, permanent wide receiver three. You would basically be rotating McCaffrey, DPJ, and Khalif Raymond through that wide receiver three spot, which is okay to take that approach because you have two other guys that are really good, and then you have a really good an all pro tight end, plus you have running backs that can catch the ball. So like you can go this route. Like you can go
Yeah.
the route of taking another kind of like depth player with a little bit of size. But he is mostly a slot guy. Like he's only took 30% of his snaps outside. Little bit of experience. St. Brown takes some of his snaps outside as well. Like it's not uncommon, right? And so he could fit. You could make it work. It's not clean, but you can make it work. And with the athleticism and his hands, there's a lot, there's something to like there. So if you like a, if you think, oh man, the receiver's getting slim, McCaffrey's a guy that's interesting to me. Tip Ryman, that's another tight end that's out there that I would love at this spot. I don't know if there's anybody else I could recommend.
Why
So
are we taking a tight end?
the only reason I take a tight end, it would be because I think they're going to keep four this year because of the special teams rules, and I think they have three and then a question mark at number four. And if you want competition against Shane Zylstra for that four spot, I think tight end is on the board. And if you want a blocking tight end, these are the two best blocking tight ends in the class. Tip Ryman and AJ Barton, or Barner, those are the best two blocking tight ends in the class. So if you want a fourth tight end, which I do, I mean, it doesn't have to be, we don't have to take him, but I want another tight end somewhere, somehow. And I want a blocking tight end. These are the best two in the class. So that's why I'm bringing them up here. So blocking tight end, Luke McCaffrey, double dip at corner with Pritchett. That's what I'm presenting to you as options here.
All right. I do not want McCaffrey. I'm not liking the idea of McCaffrey because I take a
Okay.
look at it as the wide receiver version of the linebacker issues we had in the NFC
Oh,
Championship
okay.
game, right?
Sure.
Because we have all those
Sure.
guys that are Will linebackers. We only have one Mike backer, with one Will that can kind of play Mike, one Sam. It's building the same type of thing, right?
All
And
right.
if you lose, And Amon-Ra, well, Amon-Ra St. Brown. If you lose St. Brown, you lose Jamison Williams. There's a good chance you lose Jamison Williams for a few games for some reason. And now you're just left with all these slot guys. So I do like Luke McCaffrey, the player. I don't want to pick him here. But that also means that we're not getting a wide receiver, but there's going to be veterans that are available, as we move forward from here. I would love
next
to
but
double. Oh, sorry.
I was gonna say next best outside wide receiver for you is probably like a Casey Washington out of Illinois. But he
A
is
lot of Illinois
a
guys going right now.
he's a late he I don't even know if I'd like him here. I think he's probably worse than that. But there's not a lot of big body guys that are sitting out there. Like, look, small school guy Joshua Cephas.
Is he
People are gonna
related to
look at,
Quintez Cephas?
I don't think so. But people are gonna look at him and they're gonna say, "Oh man, 6'2" and a half, 190." But he played all he played almost everything out of the slot. And so again, you have a similar like Luke McCaffrey type situation. And so, I'm looking at the rest of this list, and there's really not a lot of options. Most of the options that PFF has at this point are all kind of slot guys. So, if you want to avoid the receiver, that's fine. If you want to double dip at corner,
I feel like
Pritchett.
double dipping. I think you don't want to double dip
Well,
though.
I love Pritchett. I think Pritchett's fantastic.
Let's take Pritchett. I'm a
And
Pritchett guy. We can't have enough corners. Mosley's a question mark whether he'll be healthy when he comes back. Robertson, they really like him, but I think when they acquired him, they didn't have the idea that he was going to start, he was going to be the third guy. I think they were going to have Cam Sutton be the second guy. So
Yeah, sure.
I'm a fan of Pritchett. Let's get as many of these guys in here. Cooper DeJean, they might move him to safety at some point.
That's
No,
true.
I'm a
Sure.
Pritch I'll be a Pritchett guy.
So I'm gonna for those, who are a little bit concerned of him. Let me just read Dane Brugler, what he wrote up on his kind of overall assessment of Pritchett. Pritchett needs to improve his tackling and downfield judgment, ball skills, but his length, speed, football character are traits that teams will want to bring into the building. He projects as a rotational corner for an NFL secondary. In my opinion, he can be. He's based in Man. He's a guy that they brought in for a top 30 visit, and the only concern for me is that he doesn't have a whole ton of slot experience, but I think he's slot capable. And so that's, I think, where his value could be. He's a guy who could come in and like he could be a guy who ends up doing a giving you a little bit of nickel, or he kicks on the outside and allows someone else. He can step up, kick outside, and allow somebody else. So I like Pritchett as a player. It's a little harder sell for me to double dip, but I think he's a tremendous player. And so I don't hate the idea of taking him. My drafting for need, like if I'm drafting for need, I hate it. But if you're drafting the player, it's a good player. And he probably is a fourth round, should probably go in the fourth round and not be here. So I think the value is there as well.
Why are you against double dipping at corner? They've double dipped at defensive end in
A
previous
100%.
years.
100%. I think I'm just against, the only reason I'm against it right now is because he's not like if he had a lot more nickel experience, I'd be a lot more in favor of it, right? Or if you told me like another guy is going to be, another guy that's in the rotation he's just going to give you a lot of corner or a nickel snaps, then I'd be like, all right, cool, I'm with it. Like if you told me, hey, DeJean's going to be your backup nickel because he can, then I'm fine. I'm completely fine with it. You've got what, five outside corners right now that are with add in DeJean. You probably have six on the roster that you really like, and then two inside. I could be talked into it, right? Because you're adding with DeJean's flexibility, a guy like Pritchett can still make the team and contribute, give you special teams, plus give you plus he can like I said, he is there's a lot of developmental ability on the outside, and maybe he can play inside. Maybe he's got that range, but he just the lack of experience there just gives me a little bit of pause or double dipping here. But he's
All
a
right. Well,
great press man, and so he'd fit stylistically.
Pritchett versus Chase Lucas at the same
No,
the time of experience.
I well Chase,
I know you like Chase Lucas. Like that's why I want you to compare him against him.
Chase played a lot outside, but Chase had a lot more experience inside. Chase played
Okay.
6 years. That's why he had so much experience at different spots. So Chase ended his career at Arizona State as an outside guy, but he had more inside experience because remember that Arizona State staff, Herm Edwards and all those guys, Antonio Pierce, now the Vegas, he
Yeah,
was their D
they knew.
coordinator. Yeah, they moved him all over the place. Like they gave him experience. So he had a lot more experience than Pritchett. Pritchett is mostly played on the outside because he's talented. And with these college defenses, they play their best guys on the outside. So.
So would you rather? I mean, I could be talked into tight end because I need to also sit in the realm that we need to continue improving the offense. How much does this tight end continue to improve the offense, though? Unless he could be a diamond in the rough where they're thinking like, well, maybe we'll trade Sam Laporta because this guy's going to be cheaper. Like it's unlikely, but like that's the ceiling for any of these guys, right? Where it's a big shocker. But
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
I think Barner, Ryman, and Pritchett all could go in the fourth round from my opinion. So I'm okay with any of them. Those are my favorite three from this group that's here. I am in love with the idea of an inline blocker, and
Tim
keeping a
Ryman's a big
fourth.
fella. He's a big guy for a tight end, 270 pounds, right? 271.
Barner's pass catching is a little bit cleaner. Ryman, I think, is a little bit has more blocking upside. More, his technique is spot on. Whereas Barner, I think, is really good. He's probably your best inline guy. But again, you're talking about tight end four, so they're going to block mostly. Maybe that Barner's ability to catch the ball isn't as valuable because of it. Remember, you have Laporta for a couple of years. Now you have Brock Wright for a couple of years. You have Mitchell for a couple of years. Like, it's not like you need to take a tight end for value and a guy that you need are going to. This is you're taking a guy because you want a tight end four, and you're going to want a tight end four for a couple of years, and you could fill out that room. But,
There's also his value now all of a sudden on the kickoff return team, right? Isn't it going to be more linebackers and tight ends and those type of guys and the,
Yeah, in my opinion,
sitting back and blocking? I want Tip Reiman. I want him.
all right. I mean, look,
I want
I'm
to
with
draft
you.
Tip Reiman.
All right. Good. I approve. People are gonna hate that too, but
Whatever. It's
I
part of the
like it.
fun.
It is. All right.
It's the last pick.
No, they have
No,
we're at
we got
201.
another
They
one.
have
Yep, we got
201
another
and
one after this.
249. Okay. At 201, Anthony Gould is your best receiver. Fun note with Anthony Gould, Lions have met with him. They met with him at his pro day. He is a slot only guy though. He's like 5'8" and a half, 175. So
Nope.
he's just a slot. He's basically like a Khalif Raymond. So I don't think he's going to fit the idea of what we're looking for. I like Hunter Norzad. I think he's going to go earlier than this, but I don't think a third offensive lineman is in the cards here. You don't have the room for to keep another offensive lineman. And that's what you see a lot of linemen around this spot that are, in my opinion,
Oh,
pretty
they have
good.
Wisconsin center. How can
Yeah.
you pass up a Wisconsin offensive lineman?
Well, right. And he's got a lot of lateral quickness too. Bortolini. He's got a lot of interior lateral quickness too. I think he's a good guy with a high ceiling. I mean, we're rolling down the board here, and it's a lot of offensive linemen that I like. Jalen Ford from Texas, the linebacker, is interesting. I think they could, if they're interested in taking a sixth linebacker, he makes some sense. She's another slot corner, another slot corner or slot receiver. There's a lot of slot guys at this point. We have not taken a safety yet. And
Trey Taylor
so,
from
Trey
the Air
Taylor's,
Force Academy.
you know, what's interesting to me about Trey Taylor, his cousin is, oh my gosh. His cousin is Ed Reed.
Was going to say it's obviously not that interesting if you don't even know what it
I just blanked on it for a second. I
is.
was Hall of Famer Ed Reed is his cousin, and Taylor has a lot of the confidence and the moxie to match it. If you look at his PFF scores, they're all really good. He is a let me pull up my board and see if what information I have on him that helps him stand out. Oh, I lost him. Oh, there he is. All right. His coverage grade from PFF is 89 this past season. His overall grade is 80, just under 84. His run defense grade is just under 8, is around 74 on my board, but I'm looking at PFFs here. They have him rated at 73. Still pretty fantastic. He can play in the slot, he can play deep. He's got some positional range. And you have to love the bloodlines. He's a guy who, you know, I think could fill in that developmental safety role, and there's enough to like here about him that you could say he could play valuable snaps down the road. Might be one of my more favorite guys at this spot. We'll see. Let's see if there's anybody else, but I kind of like him quite a bit. I mean, now it's just like, is there a position that you want to look at? That's kind of where we're at with these
Well,
last
look
two
at wide receiver really quick,
picks.
but there's nothing really to like there.
Slot.
Could
Geez,
say
I
who
don't.
they are. Nobody knows where they
Sorry. Gould is a slot. Out of Oregon State, Gould is he's the slot guy. David White from Western Carolina, I believe he's a slot as well. I'll double check my notes on him. Jordan Whittington from Texas. He was their slot guy. Lovett from Georgia. Where's my notes on him? I thought he was their slot as well. I'm not, oh, not finding him, but I thought he played the slot as well, if I'm not mistaken. And I mean, but like we're getting into guys that like I'm gonna have to look up exactly who they
No,
are.
Trey
You know what I
Taylor.
mean?
We're taking
And
Trey
that's
Taylor
and
with the
so
pick.
okay. All right. We'll look at safety. I like Trey Taylor. The only other guy I like that PFF hates is Ketan
Oladapo.
Oladapo. Thank you. He is in my he's really good run defender as a safety. He's a guy who I think is probably going to go much higher. Like for example, his run defense grade from PFF is 91.3. His coverage grade is 84.4. And he plays the slot. He can run the seam there real easy, and so he's in my opinion, he's going to be a lot higher on my board. I'm probably going to end up with like a fourth round grade on him. So having him around here would be really good value. I like Taylor as well. I might like Oladapo better, but I wouldn't
Oh
be mad
boy.
with it. I wouldn't be mad with either of those guys. Oladapo was like, I want to say he was like, he won an award, and then I don't, I'm trying to remember like what defensive award he won, but like he has dropped for, I don't understand why he's not getting the love that he is, because the PFF grades are through the roof. I think like I said, I'm probably going to end up with a fourth round grade on him. PFF hates him. That's why I forget about him. They have him all the way down in the like 250s. But I think he's a really good player.
He's won a couple of Pac-12 Defensive Player of the Weeks, first team All Pac-12 of the AP. It doesn't say.
Okay.
I
Maybe I
don't see
was
it.
misremembering.
Let's go Oladapo though. He's
All
bigger
right.
than Trey Taylor. I'm all right with that.
And his production is through the roof. Yeah, he's gonna fit more what they want. He's not that deep safety, but he can be a slot. He can be a box. He can do, and he can. He's a really good run defender, and he's shown good coverage. Matchup against your tight ends, both those safeties I like quite a bit. But I think I at my board I'm gonna have Oladapo a lot higher. So all right, we got our safety now. Again, this is just kind of pick what you want. I think we've both kind
Yeah,
of
we're not
resigned to the
filling any
fact.
needs there. No.
Yeah.
Oh,
We've kind of
Tua's
both
brother.
resigned. We've kind of both resigned ourselves to the fact that the receiver board is probably not what we want. I'm going to pull up linebacker here because I'm going to bring up Aaron Casey. Aaron Casey could be the next Jalen Reaves-Maybin type of guy. He's special teams dynamo. Lots to like about him. Lions have met with him before, so I know they're interested in him. He's a guy that PFF ranks at 289, and I think he's a guy the Lions would consider here for sure. Special teams player who I like. I took him in my last draft. Let's just look at who else is there. I just wanted to point him out because I like him a bunch. Bunch of defensive tackles and offensive linemen, which is kind of where we are.
Why was Cal Halliday on that list?
Because PFF doesn't always update their lists of players available
Okay.
and who they
I was
weren't.
confused by that. He's not
Yeah,
gone.
there's a couple of guys. There's a couple of guys like that on this draft simulator
Oh,
that are not
Trajan
part of the
Jeffcoat.
draft. Yeah, Jeffcoat's a big name, right? Like he played at Texas A&M, right, before he transferred. Big name, not as much production as I'd like to have seen from him. Like for example, look, they have Jared Wiley, the tight end from TCU here. He's not going to be here. Like he's not. Delmar Glaze, the tackle, who can also play guard from Maryland. I don't think he's going to be here. Plus, from our situation, we've already got our tack our offensive lineman slots filled. I'm trying to go quick. They drop Miles Cole here. Miles Cole's the edge rusher from Texas Tech. Miles Cole is a very interesting production player, and well, his lack of production is interesting because it doesn't match his skill set or what his athletic build is, like his intangibles. Like, he's a guy who has a lot of what looks like a lot of upside from an athletic standpoint, but his production is just, it's just not there. And so he's kind of dropped down the boards for a lot of people. This is probably a good range for him. Here, let me pull the board over. So you can see what I'm talking about here. Here's my board. I got him right here, and in like the sixth round range for me. 6'6", 278 with a 36.8-inch arm length, but he ran a 4.67. And in the combine drills, he stood out to me that I wrote about him, his performance at the combine because of his athleticism, because it stood out. So a guy like Miles Cole, you're drafting because you look at his traits and you think, man, maybe I can develop him into something. He's probably not, but his production is enough, or lack of production is enough that you're not expecting him to be a contributor. So Miles Cole would be a guy who you basically is taking the Broderick Martin path. You're drafting an edge rusher for the future who you can develop because he has the skills to be a potential, contributor down the road, right? Or
Right.
you look at a guy like Aaron Casey, the Illinois, or I'm sorry, the Indiana linebacker, who may not ever play defense for you, but he may play 400 special team snaps for you because the skill set is just out of control. His athleticism, and he's like the opposite. The athleticism scores are bad, though at the production is great. So it's these two guys are almost like opposites, right? Because of how they'll produce. And with Casey, he's going to step on the field from day one, and he's going to contribute from day one. He'll contribute every day of his rookie contract. Whereas Cole is a developed guy. So what would you rather have? Would you rather have a developmental edge rusher who has a lot of intangibles but hasn't produced? Or would you rather have a linebacker who might not ever play defense but will play 400 special team snaps a year? So that'll be the question I pose to you. Those are the two guys I like, and the reasons you have a preference.
The developmental edge rusher, for the simple
Okay.
fact it's the seventh round. Who's the last seventh rounder that's played significant number of snaps? Although you'll point out that, a couple of those guys play a lot of special team snaps.
Certainly. But I understand the appeal, right? I understand the appeal of trying to get the guy that has these
We want a
intangibles,
developmental guy.
right? And
We're building for the future as well as dealing with the present.
right. And here's the deal, right? Like, you can get by acquiring a developmental player, you're guaranteeing that he comes into your organization. You can still go after Casey if he doesn't get drafted and try and pick him up as a UDFA. You could do the same thing with Cole, but there's less of a guarantee, and they haven't maybe laid the groundwork. Whereas with Casey, they've met with him, they've laid the groundwork. There's a path for him to potentially, find his way to Detroit. So I'm okay with it. I can tell you right now, Joe, I probably went the other way, but I'll pick Miles Cole. I'll pick Miles Cole for you.
Yep.
All right, so that's our draft.
See what our
It took
terrible grade list.
way longer than I thought.
Oh yeah. Yeah, we yep.
But A plus, they gave us an A plus for Cooper DeJean, and we'll just end the draft there. That's all. No,
Yep.
Arojo, they gave us a B plus, C for Fisher, D plus for Zinter, just like I said. The
A D for
trade,
Tip Ryman.
yeah, the D for, yeah, and then a D minus for Oladapo. But again, they hate him, so I get that. And then a B plus for Miles Cole, the taking a developmental guy. It's a B plus overall grade from PFF simulator, but again,
Top 43% of all Lions drafts, right in the meaty part of the curve.
yeah,
Not showing off, not
well,
falling behind.
so to look at it overall, you have a potential starting corner who can play multiple spots, including inside at nickel and Dejean, maybe in the even as safety, he has safety range. He can do almost everything that you want him to do, and he offers you insurance. He lessens the need of you needing to play to add guys at any other spot, and he gives you depth everywhere. He can be a starter or he can be a backup. And he's a special teamer. He can be your kick returner, he can be your gunner, he can do a whole variety of different things. He can do it all if he's there. Take him and love him. Orohoro gives you interior presence of a pass rush on the at defensive tackle, plus he gives you insurance across the board with those guys, and he will give you he will give you that he will give you that. I'm saying interior pass rush again, but like that's something that's been missing, right? He will give you that element that you were missing from your defensive line previously. Blake Fisher is massive insurance at offensive tackle. He'll be a potential future starting right tackle, and you could end up seeing Fisher and Penei Sewell be your offensive line bookends for a while. Zinter could be the right guard. You could have right now in this draft drafted two starting offensive linemen on the right side of your future with the third and then trade up for fourth round pick. Ryman's your best blocking tight end or one of the top two blocking tight ends in the draft. So now you have four tight ends available, which I think you're going to need, especially with the new blocking special teams rules. I think Ryman is a guy who is going to be a terrific addition and would threaten James Mitchell. Oladapo is a day one special teams standout, plus he has a lot of range at safety. Offers you some flexibility. Unfortunately, you don't fill the high safety role, but you can all there's a lot of free agents out there that can help you with that. Miles Cole's a developmental edge rusher again, so you're adding that edge rushing element. You're getting a guy you can develop and try and turn into take the Broderick Martin route, hopefully turn him into a Derek Barnes or an iffy route. The blocking hole that we didn't address is wide receiver, and that's a huge blow. But at the same time, they have a massive amount of pass catchers in this on this roster already, and there's still some options. You can still go back to the free agency pool. You can maybe try a trade for a guy. There are some paths to try and add talent to the roster, but that wide receiver three spot, it looks like a rotation. And you have a couple of guys that can rotate. They're going to have to find an answer. Unfortunately, we didn't fill that spot. Instead, the spots that we filled, I think, round out the roster from a depth perspective for this year, and you could end up with potentially four to five starters on it for the long term.
All right. If you look at this in totality, you could say they have one starter. They drafted one starter, potentially, Cooper DeJean.
That's
Last
probably
three
it, though.
drafts. So the first Holmes Campbell draft, first Holmes draft, Sewell, McNeil, Amon-Ra, St. Brown. They ended up with three starters. Right now there's five with Melifonwu and Derek Barnes
Yes.
being current starters, but they developed them. All right.
Correct.
Second
Correct.
draft. Aiden Hutchinson, Josh Pascal,
I would say
Malcolm
no.
Rodriguez was an instant starter, but he's not anymore because of the development of Derek Barnes from the first draft. So, and then James Houston, right now he's flash in the pan.
Right.
Now, the big draft is this past draft with Gibbs, Campbell, Laporta, Branch, all seeing the field plenty of time. It'd be interesting to see how this one would shake out. Obviously, these aren't the seven players they're going to end up with. It's going to look something totally different than that. But it was a fun exercise. We talked about who they could get and who might be available in and around those picks. So that was pretty
All
good.
right. All right. Well, I'm, when I did my last written mock draft, I got a lot of love for it. And so I considered just retiring on that note. I was like,
Well,
I
you
was just gonna
can't
walk, I
now.
was gonna walk out on top. But yeah, so I'm
Well,
expecting this
you have
one.
to do something different. You're not going to do the exact same
No, that's
record.
100%. I don't, I, okay. So I have not, the only player that I've picked more than once in the mock drafts is Tip Ryman. Other than that, I've introduced new players each time. So yeah, I hope everyone enjoyed it.
Yeah, and if they don't like it, just blame me.
And I might consider writing this one up too. We'll see. I should do one more mock
That's going to be a
draft.
long write-up.
Yeah, well, I can do it quick.
Right. That'll be it. This might be a record. This show might be another record length.
Oh yeah.
Games are only 3 hours long, Eric. That's what we're heading towards on these
Oh,
shows.
that's my fault. I thought it
No,
would
it's
go
all right.
faster, but like I wanted to get into some depth here. And so, yeah, we've been going a while.
Big rally for the rate on both Apple Podcasts and Spotify. A lot of boosted reviews. There was one review fun one you know they were all 5 stars of the written reviews. One of them includes our the enjoyment of our thick Michigan accents, which I appreciate that. It's good. Because we do have them. Like, of course, I don't hear it. I don't hear Eric's Michigan accent. He doesn't hear mine. But
Correct.
we sound normal. But of course, to people out in the world there, we certainly don't.
We've also seen upticks in the popularity of the podcast, not just reviews. We've had more subscribers, we've had more downloads. Ever since introducing the POD guys over here on in the interim here, while we're looking for a new spot for that podcast, people have been very receptive. People seem to enjoy what Ryan and I did, and they're looking for more. So in addition to this podcast, I'm going to try and get a couple more of those out as well. I've been in touch with Ryan to add a couple more shorter shows, and a couple of the other POD guys I'm going to try and get on there as well. We are, the last I checked, we were the fourth most popular football podcast in the United States on Apple. We were the 11th most popular sports podcast on
Apple.
Apple as well. And then we were the ninth most popular sports podcast on Spotify, all because of the listeners, all because the listeners have rallied behind what we do, what the POD podcast was about, and they like the marriage between us, and they are showing a ton of support, which is awfully awfully impressive, and it's really certainly helped us our the status of the podcast. And so we appreciate everybody who has been listening. We hope we are filling that void. I did go awfully long today, and it's going to be a
No, it's
hard
all right.
listen for some people,
Well, they'll just turn it off and move on.
but
They'll wait for
yeah
the shorter ones.
but
They're
but yeah we're going to have
coming
some
next week.
we are we'll have some shorter ones as well, but we hope you enjoyed this podcast today.
Yeah, thanks to Ryan, who's been admirably stepped up, took on a you could say my slack, why we don't have more than one podcast per week. So no, Ryan did great. You guys both did a great job. I did like the shorter format show.
Thank you.
Just me, because like once again, when you talk about the commutes and all that sort of thing,
Yeah. This is like a four commute episode right
this
here.
is the long form. That's why we could do it 1 a week, because
Right.
you could just stretch out your week listening to it. But
Exactly.
anyhow, we always mention the names. I don't want to leave them out. HR initials and department 5-star review back on Thursday. Teochino, a 5-star review on Wednesday. Fringe Idiot is a 5-star review also on Wednesday. And then BTN Anthony, also on Tuesday, 5-star write-up review. JFK BK, though he's from New York, 5-star review Tuesday, who commented on our Michigan accents.
Like it.
Yeah. So that's great. We appreciate everybody listening, as Eric just talked about there. And that's going to be it for today. So that's what we got. You'll hear from us again. We get a drafts barreling at us. So
Oh, yeah.
until next time, let's go Lions.